Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
You might have heard in the news headlines this morning that the Data Protection Commission has opened an investigation into the HSE over data breaches relating to videos of paper medical records being posted online. It's understood that one of those incidents relates to a video posted on TikTok back in November of last year, showing a person going through boxes of patient records in Donegal. The other incident is believed to have occurred at a Dublin facility. Now, it comes as the Data Protection Commission publishes their annual report, which shows it issued 19 finalised decisions resulting in fines totalling 1.55 billion euro. Well, for more on this, I'm joined now in the studio by Dale Sunderland, who is Data Protection Commissioner. Dale, you're very welcome. Thank you for being with us today. Can we start with those investigations that we've been hearing about over the course of the morning? You've launched investigations into the HSE. It's two incidents, is that right?
Yes, that's right, Claire. We have informed the HSE that we've commenced an investigation under the Data Protection Act to examine how the HSE manages physical files across its estate of locations across Ireland. We're looking at how they secure physical records, how long they retain them for, and whether they're meeting their obligations under data protection law. Why we've opened this inquiry is, as you've referenced, two breach notifications made to us last year by the HSE, whereby videos appeared online, on social media, showing persons who are not authorised to do so accessing stores in the HSE properties where patient records were being kept. Mm-hmm. And in one of those, it also showed that there was severe water damage. So the question, obviously, that gives rise to concerns under data protection law, because if any organisation that retains personal data must do it securely and must not retain it for longer than they need to. And of course, these were patient records, which are deserve and must receive a higher protection.
Highly sensitive, indeed,
very revealing about individuals' health conditions. There was a range of different types of files, from what we understand, from the information we've received from the HSE and what we've been able to view online. And so it does give rise to concerns about how the HSE is meeting its obligations to secure physical records on its properties. And that's what the purpose of our investigation is to examine.
OK, now how is that investigation prompted? Is it the HSE who tells you about it, or are you watching for this all of the time?
Well, in fact, we are indeed watching. Often stories or issues such as this come to us through media coverage, or even in this case, it was posted online, and that's one of the ways it came to our attention. But also the HSE, as they're required to do, any organisation is required to do under GDPR, where there's a data breach and there's a risk to the individual's concerns, they're required to make a breach notification mm-hmm. to us.
So, but you can begin your investigation before the breach notification?
We could, yes, indeed, we could. Mm-hmm. But this was largely prompted by the breach notifications and then further information that came online. But we are free at any time to open an investigation if we have concerns about how an organisation is meeting its obligations.
And what stage is that investigation into the HSE?
So we have just notified them that we're opening it. So now we've submitted a series of questions to the HSE in respect of which we're seeking answers. So that's the first step. And we'll build up the facts around the case and then further down the line conclude on whether there were infringements, and if there were infringements, what sort of penalties or corrective measures should apply. So it's early days yet.
Early days on that one. Now, there is a lot of talk, everyone will know, about the number of fatalities on our roads here in Ireland. One of the issues that has been raised, Dale, is the fact that the Road Safety Authority stopped sharing data around collisions with local authorities. They said over concerns around GDPR. The RSA is working with your organisation on that issue, isn't it?
That's correct, indeed, yes. This is this goes to some of the work we did last year into 2023, where concerns were expressed that data sharing couldn't happen between An Garda Síochána and the Road Safety Authority for the purpose of the Road Safety Authority's analysis of crash locations. The concerns here was not necessarily the policy objective, which is very important and is an important role of the RSA, but really around the volumes of data that needed to be transferred to allow them carry out their functions. So that work, there's a body of state agencies examining what the RSA needs to do its work. They have submitted some updated documents to us just last week. We expect further information from them in the near future on a data protection impact assessment. But we understand they're working through these issues and we're confident they'll find a resolution. Really, what you want to achieve here is that when a public body has a purpose and a very good public policy in purpose in analysing road for the purpose of road safety, mm-hmm. and they need information, have they a lawful basis to do it, and to what extent do they need information to do that job?
So have you established that they have a lawful basis to have that information? Is this more about streamlining what they get?
There's a number of elements to it. One is a lawful basis, and I think that will be established. The other point is how much data they need to receive. If excessive data is being transferred from one body to the other for which that receiving body doesn't need, mm-hmm. well, then you're running into difficulties on the kind of proportionality and necessity aspects of data protection law. So really where it's driving towards is that the RSA gets the information it needs to do its job, and then that there's the proper protections around that data as well.
Okay. Now, let's talk about your own office. And people might remember back in 2021, the EU Commission Vice President Vera Jourova said Ireland doesn't move quickly enough when it comes to big tech investigation. She claimed that Ireland's Data Commission is understaffed and needs more capacity. So what do you say to that now in 2024? Have things changed much?
I think our 2023 report sets out, you know, a huge volume of work across all our functions, both as a domestic regulator and at an EU level. And we do that under the Charter of Fundamental Rights. And I just want to, at this, along with my colleague, Commissioner Des Hogan, pay tribute to Helen Dixon and all her work and leadership and stewardship of the office and building the DPC from fewer than 30 staff to now around, you know, soon hitting 230 staff. And last year, we had some very significant conclusions of investigations into large major online social media platforms relating to transfers of data from EU to the US into protections for children on TikTok. And we have a number of others lining up now to continue, you know, drawing towards their conclusion. So I think when you look back over the number of years of the investigations we've opened and concluded and the impact of those investigations, they've really been effective, and particularly the corrective orders and behavioural change.
Can we talk, though, about the staffing level? Because in the year that she said that, Vera Jourova, in 2021, you'd 190 staff. This report says that you have 210.
Yeah, we're now closing in on 230, and our target for this year is around 250 to 260. So hand in hand with additional resources, we're also learning as we go through these processes and as we conduct investigations and conduct the next one. You're learning all the time, and you're learning our very committed and talented staff are learning how to do these things quicker
and
faster. But
how many more do you think you need?
So we are now entering into the estimates process where we will be making submissions to the Department of Public Expenditure and the Department of Justice seeking additional resources for next year. I think what's important to bear in mind in all of this as well is that we do want to drive to a stage where, you know, we have cases where we have the ability to target issues as they arise and conclude investigations on a more expeditious basis.
Well, she who said, you know, it was too slow at the moment, the Irish Data Protection Office.
I think we also need to bear in mind these are really complex investigations, and it's well accepted across our peers, across the EU, that these investigations of this nature take a number of years to conclude.
I suppose the Germans have 424 staff. That's around double what you have. And the difference is, okay, they have a larger population, but we have the headquarters of many major tech companies here in Ireland. So surely we would need to be at or to surpass that figure when it comes to staffing.
I think it's important to note with Germany, they're dispersed across 16, 17 different agencies. So in the aggregate, that's what it adds up to. But that'd be like, you know, a lot of DPCs in Ireland.
Well, so the French have 288.
Yeah,
still more than what we have.
It's still more. And I think we can maybe look at how much is enough. But I think what we're saying, we are carrying out our job, carrying out effectively and increasingly effectively. And again, that'll continue this year. But we will, that needs to continue, the resource in the office. And particularly as we strive to drive cohesion across all the digital regulation spheres, whether it's competition, online safety, or whatever it is, you know, that takes resources as well. So this is what we're doing at the moment, that assessment of what we will need to continue to build the organisation.
So
but it's a work in progress, for certain.
You can't put a figure on the number of staff that you think you're going to need, in the next 18 months, 2 years?
It's a process, as Des Hogan and myself have taken up office, that we are looking at this now afresh. And I think as this year progresses, and hopefully we're joined by a third commissioner later in the year, we'll get a better idea of where we need to go over the next few years. But it's unquestionably the case the resourcing of the DPC will need to continue. Mm-hmm. But I also should point out that, you know, just to give you an example of using resources to best effect, we concluded a lot more complaints last year than we received. And we increased, so while complaints increased by 20%, our output also increased by 20%. So the resources we're getting were put into good use, but it's not the end of the story. Yes, it will need to continue.
We'll look at the fines now on big tech. So Meta were fined $1.2 billion. Mm. They've got revenues of $40 billion. TikTok, $345 million, but they have reportedly revenues of $16 billion. I mean, in the context of the revenues, those fines are a drop in the ocean. They're hardly going to hurt them very much.
So fines are one important part of the toolkit of a data protection regulator, and we have imposed significant fines. Also, though, in these cases, it's important to highlight that there's also corrective measures imposed, mm-hmm. i.e. cease processing, bring your behaviours into compliance. So it's the two going together achieves the effect. So fines send a very clear message and a reputational message, but behavioural change is often driven through the corrective orders we've implemented. And we've seen those changes.
Okay.
That's happening, yeah.
Facebook at the moment is asking Irish users to opt out, not opt in, to having their information used to develop and improve AI at the company. Do you have concerns about that?
This is something we've been looking at under our supervision function. We have secured a number of changes around transparency to users. But there's a number of other issues around how AI models are trained. And this is an ongoing conversation we're having with our colleagues in the European Data Protection Board, acknowledging that technology is moving quite fast here. And there are some open questions as to the legality and lawfulness of how AI models are trained, particularly using public data sets. So I think that work is ongoing and there's further assessments we'll need to undertake.
Because people might have seen there's a bit of an online backlash against that, but you're saying we have noted that and we're looking at it.
We're looking at it, and we have secured a number of changes around how Meta delivers transparency to users, but that's not the end of the work.
On the subject of X, formerly known as Twitter, there's been a lot of political criticism about a lack of feedback when they go to X with complaints. Is that the same when it comes to the DPC, to your own office?
In respect of that company, I will say all of the large platforms for whom we're the lead EU regulator, the engagement is extensive and the questions we ask are answered.
By X
as well, yeah. So that's not to say everything is right and correct, but in terms of the engagement, mm-hmm. it's working quite well.
What are you concerned about when it comes to X?
In relation to the issues we're looking at the moment, we've opened inquiries. One of them is about a data breach and data inappropriately being accessed and available on the web. Other issues are often flow through issues raised by complainants with our office around, you know, their rights to erasure, their rights to access their account, their rights to rectification and other such matters. So they're the kind of space, the exercise of individual rights is where we see, you know, ongoing issues, but they also see those with other companies. A lot of work is put into resolving those by the DPC, as well as the big investigations.
Is it fair to say then that X is engaging with your office in the same way as the other big tech companies are?
From our experience, yes, yeah. There's an important point to make here. We are the regulator and they're the regulated entities. And there's an obligation and an accountability onus on those entities to engage effectively and answer all questions and provide all information that we require. Mm-hmm. And we have powers to make sure that happens. So that's well understood by these entities.
All right. Well, Dale, thank you very much for coming in. That's Dale Sunderland, who is Data Protection Commissioner. Back after this break.